Chapter 18. Iron Hearts, Iron Heads.
Have you slept?
Gorgonson wore only half armor as he made an inventory of the medical supplies aboard the Iron Heart. They would be needed for what was coming. He looked up from his data slate when an answer wasn't forthcoming. Medjuson felt the apothecary's silent accusation without needing to see his disapproving face.
I've had no time for it. Run biometrics, you'll see everything is fine.
How long has it been?
Gorgonson left the slate behind. The sterile air reeked of counterseptic and faintly of blood. Medjuson shook his head and frowned.
A few days, I think. A week, possibly two. Run biometrics.
I have,
said Gorgonson, reaching for another slate. He had a stack of them to hand, not only concerning the status of supplies, but also casualty reports and individual medical exams. He found Medjuson's.
This is your cerebrum,
he said, showing Medjuson an X-ray of his skull. Gorgonson had circled the brainstem.
Your catalepsy node is not intended to be used as a substitute for sleep, Shadrach. I am aware of its function, Goron.
They sat together in a small archive room, an antechamber off the main apothecarian.
Your mind is sleep-deprived. The catalepsian shows signs of strain.
Medjuson raised an eyebrow.
I came here to ask for your thoughts about Org, not for a medical assessment.
Then you should not have agreed to meet in the apothecarian.
Gorgonson put the slate away.
Have you been seeing things? Hearing things? I see and hear all the time. As war leader, I must be attentive. Hallucinations, Shadrach,
said Gorgonson, his tone chiding.
I know what you mean. No, nothing like that. I feel fatigued, yes, and I doubt I have slept since the muster began. Do you know how many ships we are now?
Over the last 2 weeks, vessels had begun to gather. Medjuson had given the command, and the Iron Tenth had heeded it. Warships of every kind arrived daily, some in ragged squadrons, some in impressively well-cohered fleets, others alone and glad to be allied to a larger force. The size and overall state of the ships varied greatly, but Medjuson had welcomed them all. Refit and resupply, such as it was, had begun immediately. They came together in sight of the Aragna chain, a forbiddingly large asteroid field that stretched for thousands of kilometres across a third of the Vordral sector. The names mattered little. Vordral had once been host to a cluster of industrial subtype hive worlds called the Carthanons. Deemed alpha class by Terra's taxonomy cohorts, the Carthanonites had been proud and vehemently resisted subsumation into the Imperium. It had been late in the Crusade, and the mission of compliance had fallen to the Iron Hands. Even then, the Gorgon had no taste for diplomacy. The Carthanonites courted none. They responded with force. When their warships returned to them as broken husks, burning up in the hostile atmosphere of their worlds, the largest spearing continents and decimating populations with the furious violence of their re-entry, the Carthanonites realized victory laid far beyond their grasp. Pride would not allow them to submit and fall upon bended knee to a potentate they had never met and a black-armored general whose authority they did not recognize. They sacrificed their own culture, choosing death over servitude to a distant and foreign power. An atomic reaction, from warheads long stockpiled by a pan-planetary civilization too afraid to unleash them and too belligerent to decommission them, tore apart the Carthanon worlds and left radioactive debris in its wake. Medjuson had been part of that campaign, brief as it was. He had witnessed the end of the Carthanons too, and the silent nuclear sunrises that dawned at the moment of their destruction and then set swiftly afterwards.
Futile, the Gorgon had said afterwards. Utterly futile.
The profligacy of it all had offended him, the stupid and vainglorious pride of a culture too stubborn to admit when it was beaten. Only now could Medjuson properly understand why they had chosen annihilation over capitulation. He briefly wondered if he would embrace the equivalent of that nuclear fire, rather than submit. He told himself this was different. Being in the Aragna chain brought back these memories. This, and the prospect of the largest void battle he had ever taken part in, let alone commanded, had kept him awake. Meetings with honored lieutenants, battle captains, and of course the Iron Fathers had been ceaseless. "I need only endure a little longer, Goran," he said. "Then I'll sleep. You have my word."
"In answer to your question, Shadrach, I don't know precisely how many ships are in this armada, but I know you have responsibility for them, and for the souls aboard in their millions. A war leader must sleep as well as strategize. Lean on Lumek or Makosa. Hells, even bloody Dalkoth. But rest, or risk everything you have come so far to achieve."
"I do nothing but weigh risk, brother. Org is a risk. The other freighters are a risk. I am willing to take every one because I am freighting everything I have on this one. Everything. I have ships to consider, troop dispositions, tactics, deployment. The Aragna chain is immense, but even it can't hide a force of the size I command. Do you not think I realize what he's doing?"
"He's waiting for you."
"He's waiting for me, exactly. And that means he's confident. It means he has resources. I have what I have. It's a well-worn sword, I suppose. The blade is chipped in places, its edge is blunter than I would like, but I will swing it anyway, and I will rain blow after blow down upon Mars' defense until either it or the sword breaks. One way or another, this ends. I'm willing to die for this. Is he?"
"His death does not concern me," said Gorgonson, irritated. "Though your rhetoric is fine indeed. You should commit that to memory and give it in a speech to your captains when the time comes. But if you do not rest, if your judgment becomes impaired, you may not live to see who breaks first. And that is what I know."
Medjuson got to his feet, tired of the conversation now.
"I'll expect you with my command when the call to arms is made."
Gorgonson nodded.
"Of course. Will you at least try to rest?"
"If it will cease your hectoring, yes."
"It won't, but I appreciate it. And Org, your thoughts?"
Gorgonson shrugged.
"He is different."
"Different how?"
"Colder. Like a machine."
"We are all machine in part, brother," Medjuson replied. He turned his bionic hand, watching the gears and servos work as the fingers curled and uncurled.
"Yes, the flesh is weak," said Gorgonson, deliberately trite, and gestured to the main apothecarian beyond the archive room.
Several iron hands lay in state on the numerous medislabs, yet to rise, perhaps never to rise.
"No one knows that better than I. The Martians did something to him. I can't find it. I've tried, but nothing comes up in any examination I've made. It's his mind that concerns me, not his flesh. Something happened to him."
"Could it be grief? For our fallen father?"
"Perhaps. It takes something aberrant to fashion an effigy of a dead Primarch and imbue it with false animus. They believed it was alive."
"They believed it was him."
"It gave me pause when I saw it, enthroned, but concealed by its cloak and shadows." "You wanted it to be true, but your rational mind rejected it as false."
Medjuson shook his head.
"It wasn't rationality. I felt it was wrong, by instinct. Metal is stronger than flesh, but it cannot replace it entirely. It cannot revivify the dead. It is hubris to believe otherwise. The freighters succumbed to it."
"And how do you explain the living, breathing Primarch on board our ship?"
"Vulcan? How so?"
"He died, Shadrach.
If you believe the rumors, he died more than once. The Salamanders left Macragge with a corpse."
Medjuson's eyes narrowed.
"You don't trust he is what he claims to be?"
"Oh, it's him. You can't fake something like that. It can't be fashioned, not perfectly. I only ask, how is he alive?"
"I think Vulcan is more concerned with why."
Gorgonson chuckled at that.
"Do you know of any Salamander without existential concerns?"
"Neuros."
Gorgonson laughed loudly.
"He has been on the Ironheart too long."
"He'll be here a while longer yet.
Vulcan isn't taking the Drakes with him.
Just his companions.
Gorgonson didn't question it, but it clearly surprised him.
I know neither why nor how Vulcan came back from the dead, or if he ever was dead at all, said Medjuson. I saw him destroy one of Father's arms. I saw that hammer fly into his grasp, and indestructible silver turn to nothing with one blow.
They scavenged it.
From Istvan. They had to have done.
Gorgonson looked horrified at the idea of such sacrilege, however nobly intended.
How long did they have it?
Long enough to fashion it a body, to raise a cult in its honour. I suspect it began as a relic at first, a means of keeping our father alive in some necrotic way.
Have you heard of the keys of hell? They are the fires from the mountain.
They are what should not and must not be,
said Gorgonson, reciting an old verse.
Only in the last days of humanity, when law has no meaning, should any think to break the locks placed upon them.
It is the province of madmen, he added.
Cybernetic resurrection.
You think Org and the Freighters were trying to turn the keys of hell and use them to raise our father from the dead?
At the root of it, perhaps. But rather than a body, they only had an arm, his hand.
Gorgonson exhaled a shuddering breath, rubbing at his chin. His eyes briefly roamed somewhere far away.
Have we become so desperate to turn to such things for answers? Duty ends in death.
It failed, whatever it was. Vulcan ended it. I saw the realization in Org's eyes afterwards at what they had done, or tried to do. Desperation drives desperate acts. I believe he is contrite.
I did not see it, so cannot judge. That, like so much else, falls to you, Shadrach.
He pursed his lips.
He has changed. That's all I can say for certain.
And the war has changed all of us, Goran. I can't hold Org to account for that.
Then you have your answer.
It seems I do.
Medjuson left the apothecarian to prepare for the battle. Sleep would have to wait. Org would not. The Iron Heart felt still, despite the slow-burning engines vibrating through its hull. Its crew went about their duties with quiet diligence. Even its flesh-spare warriors kept to their quarters, leaving practice cages empty, sword halls filled with deafening silence. Lumens flickered in the corridors, weak, stuttering. The ship held its breath. Only the servitors seemed unperturbed.
Medjuson crossed one in a long ventral corridor, aft of the workshops, male, hairless, its skin bled of colour. It did not speak as it passed the war leader, staring dully, slaved to its task. Belt-fed tracks had replaced its legs, grinding noisily against the deck, and it had industrial-grade clamps for arms. It carried cargo, a heavy munitions crate bound for the mass drivers below.
A premonition lingered in those soulless eyes, hard to deny.
Medjuson saw his own cold, dead visage reflected back at him.
Darkness fell as the lights went down for a few seconds, the ship's generators struggling to reignite them. A grey half-light returned in its stead, gritty and unclean. It painted Medjuson's armour, stiff and heavy. In the shadow light he saw Lumac, his skull clove in two, grimly lumbering towards him. Makosa followed in his wake, burned half to hell, one foot scraping behind the other, dragging on broken servos. Then came Neuros and Dalkoth, horrifically transformed with pistons and bionic grafts, dead and yet not dead, revenants both. And finally he saw Org, attended by a skeletal coven of his fellow freighters, his jerky movements more akin to a machine than a man. Fate beckoned.
"This is the will of iron,"
a voice uttered, mechanized and without emotion. Orgs and yet not orgs. He had become a machine. His blood turned to oil, his sinews to wire, his bones to steel, his eyes to burning diodes, his mind. Org had none, only a logic engine, ever calculating, inured and unresponsive to the concepts of honor and brotherhood. cold metal fingers coiled slowly around Medjuson's wrist, his arms, his torso, digging at his flesh, tearing and tearing, his skin stretching and splitting like rubber, until bloody steel gleamed underneath. Medjuson awoke, heart thundering, breath soaring asthmatically through his lungs. The servitor had moved on. He heard its metal-plated tracks rolling inexorably in the distance. The corridor remained, grim and only half-lit. The lumens flared brightly again, scaring off the shadows. It hurt Medjuson's eyes, and he blinked, feeling the dry sting.
"Bioscan,"
he rasped, surprised at the hoarseness in his voice. His armor complied, a data screed unspooling on the slate built into his vambrace. "Physiology within acceptable parameters," it said.
"Neurological."
A second data screed overlaid the first. The analysis, cerebral chemical, beyond acceptable parameters. Diagnosis, suboptimal. Medjuson shut it off. His heart and breathing had normalized. The internal chrono chimed on, measuring his sleep deprivation. He shut that off too. He did not meet another soul after that, fictional or actual. The ship echoed like an empty tomb. Ahead, the workshops. Org would be there. The doors parted, offering no resistance, but they ground open slowly on protesting gears. Darkness reigned over light within, the latter provided by a sodium lantern suspended from the ceiling by a trail of thick wire. An entry corridor widened into an expansive workspace, barren, apart from a full-body armature holding up a largely unscathed suit of Legion warplate, Org's armor. The black lacquer shone where the light hit painted ceramite, and the white gauntlet icon across the left shoulder guard was unsullied. Org had returned from Lyax, pristine, strong. He cut an incongruous figure amongst the rest of the Tenth, battered and patched up as they were.
"Present company included," Medjuson thought.
"You look weary, War Leader,"
a voice called from above. Medjuson looked up to a broad gantry, and the figure he hadn't noticed upon first entering the room. He pushed down a sense of disquiet at the uncanny timing of the question, and instead greeted his old friend.
"And elect," he nodded, smiling. "Jebez, my brother."
"I'm glad to be thought of as such," said Org,
partly obscured by the gantry mesh that separated them.
"Join me, Shadrach."
Medjuson took the metal stairway that led to the upper-level gantry and Org's actual workshop. His eyes widened as he reached the top of the stairs and saw what had become of his hand-elect.
"Blood of Medusa."
Medjuson could not help himself. He had not seen Org without his armor since before Oakwith. Scars ravaged much of Org's body, the flesh that remained, anyway. Metal dominated over skin. Most of his torso had been replaced, synthetic and augmetic organs visible through hardened, transparent plastile. Both his right leg and arm articulated via gears, servos and pistons. Wires and tubing routed electrical impulses and fabricated machine blood through a nervous system that had long lacked actual nerves.
"Gorgonson told me that the Martians had to rebuild from the core up, but I had not expected the grafts to be so extensive,"
Medjuson confessed. Org flexed his bionic arm, and its mechanisms growled, powerful, durable.
"As I said when I returned aboard the Danang, Shadrach, I have been remade, stronger than before, than I ever was, in fact."
"It is a little disquieting."
"Gruesome, I'll admit," said Org,
and donned a robe to hide the worst of his patchwork body.
"What else did Goran tell you?"
"That I need more sleep."
Medjuson examined a few of the pieces Org had been working on. A finely wrought bolt gun lay in pieces on his workbench, as well as a depowered axe, two monomolecular blades with one haft and several crack grenades. Org touched his bionic hand to Medjuson's neck, who recoiled as he felt a tiny mechadendrite pierce his tough skin.
"Apologies. I should have asked first," said Org. "I forget sometimes. The implants diminish social inhibition."
Medjuson rubbed at his neck. The pain was inconsequential. The act had surprised him.
Well, that might be wise.
So would be taking Goran's advice. I read increased levels of norepinephrine, serotonin, and histamine. Allied to your obvious sleep deprivation, it could indicate a transient decrease in maximal cognitive performance, impaired executive and autonomic function, and pressure on both thalamus and prefrontal cortex.
You did all that just now. Org nodded.
It's not just my body that is stronger, Shadrach. My mind is too.
And I suppose this is to help occupy it? Medjuson gestured to the stripped-down materiel on the bench. Org took the bolter as if to appraise it.
A few modifications to improve damage, fire rate, efficiency.
And what of your other labor? Org turned, eyes narrowed. Medjuson elaborated.
The one Vulcan destroyed.
What did you seek to improve with that? Org's expression darkened.
I honestly do not know. Kernag came to me at Lyax. He told me of the cult.
Medjuson's jaw clenched at the word, uttered without thought of its import.
He said he could raise our father from the dead.
Such practices are forbidden, Org, not to mention impossible in the Gorgon's case. Org nodded contrite.
I am aware. I refuted him at first, disbelieving of his rhetoric and wary of rumours I had heard spoken amongst some Iron Fathers.
The so-called Keys of Hell?
Org nodded again.
Perhaps my instincts had been dulled by whatever procedure I underwent at Lyax. It made me curious. Kernag showed me the Silver Hand. Something changed as I saw it. It is difficult to describe. It had animus, influence.
Are you saying it was alive? Asked Medjuson, sceptical.
In a manner of speaking, it had a vital spark.
You must have known it could never be our father. What Kernag did...
Desecration does not even begin to describe it.
And yet, as we fashioned a body, the lie became harder to deny.
Had I refused to bend my knee to the reforged Iron Council, to acknowledge the golem you created in our father's image, what then?
Org lowered his gaze.
I hoped it would not come to that. I hoped you would see reason.
Reason prevailed greatly because of Vulcan's hammer.
I did not. You would have had to kill me, Org. I will not yield, not now.
Not after all of this.
Org raised his eyes, so Medjuson could measure them in his own.
And are you here to kill me, Shadrach? As one old friend to another?
Medjuson slowly exhaled as if weighing the decision, though it had been made weeks ago in the ruined auditorium.
No, never that. You swore to serve. You swore on my sword. I needed to be sure. I actually think I wanted to know why.
Something came back with the arm, said Org. That is all I can think of to explain it. Something beyond my understanding. I thought it to be the Gorgon's life essence, somehow alloyed to the metal. But now I know it was something other.
I don't pretend to know the secrets of the galaxy, said Medjuson. I am just a soldier. I had little to do with the Librarius before Nykeia, and even less now, though I have known some psychers. I believe in the existence of the uncanny. After the massacre, after we scattered, much later, I met a veteran who had been on Istvan in the long aftermath. His name was Erasmus Ruman, an Ironwrought. He spoke of things done on that cursed soil that defied reason, of totems of skulls, of crucifixions, and the beseeching of elder gods in tongues that had no place in the mouths of men. Worse, he said the gods answered. I have seen horrors, things anathema to mankind. I have felt them, Jebez. I never fought at Istvan. I never set foot upon that bloody sand, but nothing good lingers in that place now. And even when all the warriors are dead, and the fortresses echo like empty tombs, the ghosts will remain. So perhaps something ill did invest itself within our father's silver arm. We know so little of the metal's provenance. It could be a conductor for such matter. But to acknowledge that would be to try to exert reason upon madness, and that I won't do. Our fate is easy to foretell. We stand as one, or we fall as many. The Legion must survive, brother. That is all. Medjuson proffered his hand. You want to fight, you'll fight. I was wrong to keep you at arm's length. I think I mistrusted what the Mechanicum had done to you. I think I had settled into a different regime that excluded you. I erred. I see that. Org nodded and took Medjuson's forearm in a firm grip, and felt his forearm gripped in turn. He looked his old friend in the eye, gaze unwavering.
The Legion must survive.
Medjuson smiled warmly. Then let us walk the storm.